Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome on in to your Freight Waves Down community spotlight for this Monday. I'm Kayla Nix here with Grace Sharkey, the one and only. Grace, we've got a really good story to talk about this morning. The headline says Wayfair to open up big box stores, but I read it. And what I actually read is Wayfair tries to rip off IKEA minus the Swedish meatballs. What's going on?
Yes. And one could say it could potentially read a year from now, big mistake, Wayfair opened up big stores. Yeah, no, it's so Wayfair, of course, we all know is the online furniture store that I will say, talk about spending dollars in the advertisements category. If you get any ads online or if you've seen them on TV, they are getting the big celebrities to show up for those ones and multiple of them in one ad, you might say. So, of course, they're actually going to be opening up their first large store in Illinois here shortly. And it's going to be about the average size of a Costco. They're looking to, I think, rip off the IKEA brand of it. There's going to be an on-site restaurant called The Porch, which I'm going to have to go check this out. And just on some stock out vibes just to see what this is like. I mean, it's a little far away, but well, I'll try to make my way down there. It's interesting because they did already open up stores back in like 2020, these smaller, 2021, these smaller locations. There's a few of them out there. But then they were eventually closed within the next year. So I think this is their way of trying to get in front of the customer a little bit more. That's not just through online and advertisements as well.
I think that what we need to have you do is like secret shopper it when they open up, right? Take a GoPro, stick it inside your jacket, like open the zipper and just like zip around these 19 different departments. And I think that this is interesting on the surface level. But when you dive into it, you have to wonder why they made this decision, right? Because Wayfair hasn't been profitable since 2020 when people were stuck at home, had disposable income, and were like, let me decorate my 8 bedrooms that I could afford back then thanks to government stimulus. I have to wonder now, as we saw companies really overorder their inventory, struggle to adjust, and we know that furniture makers in particular had a lot of delayed orders because their manufactured products weren't coming in, and then they were sitting on this inventory like, what the heck do we do with it? Do you think that maybe this could be Wayfair's strategy of saying, man, we still have way too much inventory. We got enough to fill a Costco. Let's just open a physical store.
I know it's not a terrible way to look at it. I think for them, the biggest hope for this is getting in front of people's faces, having people drive down the street, see a giant Wayfair building, and honestly still remember that they are a part of this market. What's interesting, and honestly, if you even think about it in terms of like Bed Bath & Beyond and other furniture stores, furniture is a really hard it's very difficult for furniture companies in particular to create a brand affinity. So that loyalty from the customer to only go to that, right? For most people, it's based on price. And I think that's why IKEA does so well. I'll be very honest with you. I actually bought a lot of furniture from Wayfair. I personally was looking for a new bed set this past year. Went into like kind of like an Ashley's or something like that in a nearby store here. It was like looking at some of the prices, like who is buying this stuff? Like I had to walk out. I was like gasping, like who is spending this much money on a bed set when you can go to Wayfair for a third of the price? And Wayfair recently added like the capability to book a delivery with someone who's going to put it together for you. So you can't screw it up. And so I think they're creating this type of like what they're hoping for is some type of brand loyalty, and hoping I think that with these stores that those who are shopping more in these stores for furniture, who are considering going online because they're afraid. I think a lot of times online you're afraid of what the material feels like, right? This is something you're putting your hope for a long time that guests are sleeping in. You want to make sure it's nice. This is their way of getting in front of the customer. So any thoughts or concerns of like quality of product kind of goes away. But again, and I think this is at the end of the day, what one must consider, especially you brought up the inventory aspect is huge. We see what happened with Bed Bath & Beyond. The furniture sales have just not rebounded. They've been terrible for the last couple of years. I don't know if we have that chart here for us today, but we'll definitely have it during the Stackout episode. It's just until the housing market turns around, we're not going to see this uptick in furniture sales. So I kind of wish I was in the meeting for this, because I'd love to hear the pros, because the cons list for it is pretty deep on my end.
Yeah, Eric, look, we've got that chart there of U.S. home furnishing store sales, and it's fallen off of a cliff. And the bottom line is that the American consumer simply does not have that disposable income anymore to continue to furnish the places that they live. We're seeing folks now source to Facebook Marketplace, to buy nothing pages on Facebook, to a lot of this type of secondhand furniture. I personally have bought more furniture from a thrift store or gotten it free from friends than I have purchased from either online or a big box store in the last year or so. I'm literally getting a new couch in 6 months. It's new to me. It's at my parents' house right now, and they're just pushing it out because they don't need it anymore, right? And I think that's really just a good indication of where the American consumer is right now. Wayfair, as we know, they are the lower cost option typically because it doesn't come with that white glove service that is standard with furniture delivery. It comes in a box, put it together yourself. Do we still see that if they're going to have this option for the physical footprint? You mentioned that they're looking at partnering with that delivery partner. Do they up their prices a little bit in order to pay for that service? Or will they still continue to be that low cost provider and maybe just take a hit on their margins, which it seems like they can't afford to do, just in order to keep the customer base?
Well, it was interesting, actually. They partnered with Angie's List, right? So it just goes by Angie's for that. So they don't, for them, I don't even think there's a huge cost aspect of that. It's like it's a marketplace partnership that allows you to not only book what day this product will deliver, but what day that someone could show up. And for example, I want to say my bed set was somewhere around a couple hundred dollars, and the Angie List was, I think, like $50 or something like that to have them come. And for me, listen, I'm going to screw it up. So some of you out there are like, I can put the bed together myself. No, I wanted it to be done right. I wanted it to be done and make sure it was solid. I'm not falling off this bed, right? And I think for that price, it's fair. And I think in general, when I, like I said, I go to some of these furniture stores and see these prices, and then of course the white glove service that goes on top of it, it's just seems unreasonable. So I think for where the market is, Wayfair, that's their biggest thing. It's like, we are the low end. They're third party sellers. So, right, like the inventory aspect is a little bit better for them because I don't think they have to put as too much risk out there. Whatever's selling, it's available in their stores, and kind of like Amazon, as long as it is in stock with that seller, it's good to go. It's good to get to you. Now, I think this is, again, their opportunity to put themselves in a location for an area like this is, I believe, right outside of Chicago, for them to be able to see, for consumers to see them as they're driving down the highway, to remember that, hey, this option is still out there, is going to be big. And I mean, I'm not sure how much they're spending on their commercials. It seems like quite a lot to know what comparable cost to just opening a physical location to have the same network effect maybe could be helpful. So we'll continue to see of course, plan inventory for these stores. But until I'm more bullish with the housing market in particular, I'm not going to be bullish on this in particular at all.
Yeah, absolutely not. Save those money and get it from Facebook Marketplace instead. Grace, for the Stockout Show today, where can people go to find the show and to subscribe to that newsletter?
I back your dumpster diving all day, Kaylee, by the way, for furniture all day, no problems. And yes, for the Stockout, head to frameways.com, click on newsletters at the top of the page. We're right there after you click on newsletters, click that, and we'll, of course, start sending you our daily, our weekly newsletter too, which will actually come with an awesome discount code as well for our June event. So make sure you check out our event coming up at live.frameways.com. And check out our episode of Stockout just in a few hours from now as well.
There you go. Future supply chain right around the corner, and we're excited about it. Thanks, Grace. And we will see you later on for the Stockout and catch up with you again next week.
Thank you, Kaylee.